we've been talking about overcoming different things over the last few weeks, rejection and comparing and all that. And so what I want to talk today is overcoming sickness. And this is one of those topics that's kind of, you look at and you go, I really don't want to talk about this. Because you have people that get sick and they don't recover. And that's the way life is sometimes. And it's like, people say, well, why? When Scott's mom was dying, it's like, why did God give me this? And I said, you have to take that up with God. Now, I don't have anything to do with it other than, you know, praying for you. And we were there taking care of her for 3 weeks, and I was helping out. And just before I was coming home, we were going to have a prayer, and Scott gave the prayer. And his prayer was, God, mom's tired of this body. Can you take it? And he did. And so it was all over that. And so part of what I want to talk about is overcoming sickness. I want to talk about how that our faith plays a part in it, but it's not the whole thing. Sometimes we get our faith in the way, or lack of it, or worried about it. We're worried about we don't have enough faith. If you're worried you don't have enough, you don't. And if you can't just relax in it and walk with God in it, then you need to work on that a little bit. So I'm going to start off, and I can tell you that with my mom, when my mom was dying, it was a process, and it was a relief. It was a celebration when she died. My sister called me on the phone and says, I think mom's dying. Can you come up? I said, sure. So I went up to Clinton where they live and went in, and I said, oh, yeah, we got about 2 hours is all. I worked in the medical field for 43 years. I said, we got about 2 hours. So we sit there and we held her hand and we was with her. My little sister, Ida, she patted mom on the hand and she goes, mom, run to the light. And I said, okay, mom, run to the light. So I want to start out with a scripture from Isaiah 53. This is a messianic scripture. And the messianic scriptures are those Old Testament scriptures that talk about Jesus Christ and are fulfilled in the New Testament. And this comes from Isaiah 53, 3 through 5. And it says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities, that's sicknesses, and carried away our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. And he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. What this scripture tells us, it tells us about exchange that takes place, an exchange between Jesus and us when Jesus was on that cross. The bad things we got rid of and the bad things he took away from us and gave us good things. So it's an exchange. He died for a curse. And Jesus didn't deserve any of the things that he died for because he was perfect. He was faultless. We deserved it. But he took it all upon himself so that we didn't have to go through that. So God gave us grace that we don't deserve. What does he get? Well, Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. That's the cross. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. What is this promise of Abraham, this gift of Abraham we get? And Abraham got it. Well, if Genesis 24:1 says, Abraham was now old and well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. Jesus didn't die to make us mostly blessed. He didn't die to make us kind of blessed. He died to make us totally blessed. Totally blessed. And Jesus died so that we could have the shalom of Abraham. Shalom, if a Jewish person says to you shalom, what they're saying is the richest and all of God's blessings that you can possibly have are you. That's what they're wishing on you when they say shalom. What I want to talk about is I want to look at seven different exchanges that took place on the cross. First, he took death so that we can have eternal life. Do you realize one time when Lazarus was sick and they told Jesus and he said, well, let's wait a while before we go back. So he comes back and Martha and Mary come out and he told them, if you believe in me, you will not die. And they said they believed. Well, what Jesus was saying is there is not one second that you're dead on this earth. Because the minute or the second you close your eyes here, you open them in heaven. Amen. The second you let out your last breath here, you breathe in your first breath of heaven. When your faculties fade here, they sharpen as you go into heaven. So Jesus did all these things so we wouldn't have to do anything. And fear of death is the number one thing that Satan uses against us in this world. The fear of dying when you don't understand the grace of God. And you don't understand the power of God. Secondly, Jesus exchanged sickness for health. He bore our sicknesses. By his stripes we are healed. Why? He heals us because he loves us. He heals us because he loves us. Third, he exchanged rejection for acceptance. Remember I talked a while back about rejection? Jesus experienced rejection. On the Friday of the night when he was crucified, that afternoon, the skies went dark and became black. And Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because at that moment, bless you, at that moment, Jesus had become sin for us. And God can't be in the presence of sin. And so at that moment, he did turn his back on Jesus. And that's the only time that Jesus ever called his Father God and not my Father. And so he turned his back on him. But God will never turn his back on us because Jesus took care of all that. Jesus did everything that needed to be done. Fourth, he exchanged poverty for prosperity. Now, we like this one, but it's not what we think it is. Prosperity is not having millions of dollars. Darn. Prosperity is having everything that you need to do the work of God and that God called us to do. And so it's blessing us with every thing we need. Now, he says, we want to fill it till your cup runs over. Well, why does God want our cup to run over? Because you are to be a blessing to other people. If your cup is empty, you can't help anybody. Amen. And that I'm not just talking money. If you're spiritually in the dump and you're down and you're spiritually weak, you can't help anybody. And so God lifts us up and gives us that strength and gives us everything we need so we can bless other people. Fifth, he took defeat and gave us victory. Amen. Jesus was defeated by the Jews, and but he gave us victory, and that's our birthright. They put him in bondage, but he took that bondage and used it to set us free. Six, he took punishment for peace. The chastisement of our peace was on Jesus. We know that Jesus had 100% of the curse put upon him. He did that so that we could have 100% of the blessings of God on us. It is our birthright, and that is the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the things we need to talk about is healing, like I mentioned. Isaiah 53 says, by his stripes we are healed. We are. You notice? It doesn't say we have been or we will be. It says that we are healed. Present tense. And God still heals today. Now, I don't know if you've personally experienced the healing in your life. I have a couple of times, and I thank God for it. I have other times in my life when a healing started, but it didn't complete because I messed it up. That finger. You've got one just like it. So we mess up things together. So, no, I broke my finger, and sometimes medicine is part of it, which I'll get to in a minute. I broke the finger, and the Holy Spirit told me to pull it because what happened is it got bent over like this, and it just said, pull it. Well, I flipped my hand like this and went back into shape. but it wasn't quite right. And the Spirit said, pull it and go home. So I'm sitting in the emergency room, and this lady, she says, I just pull it and go home. And I thought, my medical training says that's not what you do. So I went in and let them pull it for $1,300. They put a brace on it, but 5 days later, we left and went to Taiwan on a mission trip. And carrying the luggage, bent my finger back like this again, so I ended up with this. I won't ask you what you did, okay? But we need to understand that God heals us today just like he did back then. And he heals in different ways. And that's the other thing we have to remember is God doesn't heal in cookie cutter ways.
Amen.
Everyone is not stamp, 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 stamp. It's different and it depends on us. John 14, 12 through 14 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son of Man may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Part of our responsibility is to bring glory to God in all kinds of ways. And I work with a guy who has cystic fibrosis, so we've talked about healing before, and he says, I don't think God would want to heal me. I said, why? He says, because I live my life and people watch how I live as a Christian and how I handle this. And I don't know, how many of you ever heard of Nick, Vakonchik, or the guy with no arms and legs? Yeah, I met him at his conference in California, and he said the same thing. He said, I could pray to God for God to heal me, but I don't think he would. Because if he did, gave me arms and legs, it would be a flash and a booze thing for a little while, but then it would be gone. As it is, he says, I've reached over 1.5 million people with the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He has a little stubby foot that he walks around with and writes with and types with. He surfs, he rides horses, he does all things. He doesn't let his handicap limit him at all. And he goes around. He was here in Salt Lake, filled the Salt Palace up. The conference, and he's just an all-around nice guy. And when I was at the conference, when I met him, he says, if you don't come and give me a hug, I'm going to chase you down. Yeah, right, okay. But he said, greater things you're going to do than that. Well, they didn't have jet planes in Jesus' day. He couldn't go to other continents. He couldn't go to other worlds. He couldn't do a lot of those things because of the limitations of his time. But here's Nick. Very limited, doesn't have any hands, doesn't have any feet, but he reaches millions of people. And I've heard other people who say the same thing. So he says, if you believe in me, you'll do greater things than I have done. May not pull somebody out and make him walk, but he reaches a lot more people. And you know, so do we. We go on mission trips to Taiwan. You go over there and you meet people, and you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And they're a different culture. We're taller than they are. I've never been any place before where somebody came up and said, can I take my girlfriend's picture with you? And it's like, okay. Why do you want my picture with her? Because you're taller and you're Caucasian, and we don't get Caucasians on this end of the island. Okay. We gave them brochures. 2 years later, a family walked into the church, and they said, how'd you hear about it? And he says, these Caucasians gave us this brochure a couple of years ago. They accepted Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because some Caucasians who didn't know how to speak the language got on a plane and flew halfway around the world and handed out a pamphlet. I like to think it was me, but probably not. It was probably one of the other faithful people. And part of the problem is you don't think that you have the ability. You don't think you're a blessed person. We fall into that trap. We think, well, God couldn't use me because we know all of our flaws. I know every one of my flaws. Well, maybe not all of them. But we don't think that we're blessed, but we are. And that's the truth. We are blessed. You are a blessed person in that light. You know, you're there and you need to do it. But don't believe it. We fall under the curse that puts us in the dark. Mark 16, 17, and 18 says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes." Now, that doesn't mean you go around looking for snakes to pick up. Okay? There are churches that do that. They're usually very small. But this is talking about like when Paul was gathering the wood, picked up the wood, and the snake attached himself. It's not that. Okay? With your hands. And when you drink any poison, Jonestown Massacre, no, that's not it. They drank it, they died. Okay? Somebody does it, you get it accidentally. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, and they will get well.
Amen.
Okay? Everything in Christianity is a transfer of relationships. Jesus died for us so we could be in his presence. Transfer of relationships back and forth. We need to be that same way. Now, this is going to sit, you think this is going to be weird, but we need to touch each other.
Amen.
We need to touch each other. Hugs are great. I was at conferences down in Lake Forest, Rick Warren's church, and they talked about this lady was going in for a surgery. She was there by herself, and she didn't think anybody cared. And the pastor's wife walked by, and as she walked by, she put her hand on the lady's shoulder. Didn't stop, didn't say anything. She put her hand on the lady's shoulder and kept going. And the lady says, "I knew then that I was going to be all right." We need to touch each other. We lay hands on the sick. And God heals, and he'll still do the same today. So here's the question. Why isn't everybody healed? Mark 6, 5 through 6 says, "He could not do," Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth, "he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village." He doesn't heal where there's no faith. Where there's no faith. Now, remember the guy that he brought his son down the mountain to him, and the guy said, "If you can do anything, heal my son." And what did Jesus say? "If? If you can?" And the guy says, Lord, help my unbelief. I do believe. Help my unbelief. And we fall into that thing. And sometimes we fall into it and we think that this is big, too big to be healed. Nothing's too big for Jesus Christ, okay? So he was in his own town. He heals in different ways. Sometimes Jesus would lay his hands on people. Sometimes he spit on them. Pleasant thought, huh? Sometimes he, in this case of the centurion, he spoke words and the guy was healed. Sometimes he put mud on their eyes and told them to go wash in the pool. They did, and they were healed. He cast out the fever that was in Peter's mother-in-law. Not the same, not cookie cutter. It's all the different things. Because we are all different people. We act different. We respond different. And the diseases and the problems we have are different. They are not cookie cutter either. So there were six major reasons why we get sick. Not only did we get it, but why do we get sick? One is poor diet and lifestyle. Now, have you ever heard of the term a fat head?
Yep.
My fat head keeps me overweight because I don't have portion control. I make spaghetti, a salad. You go to all-you-can-eat buffet, and I walk out hurting because I ate too much. Anybody else do that besides me?
Me.
No, thank you. Okay. And so we have that. And Jesus said, you know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We make it difficult. My head gets me in trouble. If we have poor diet and stress. Oh, stress. You know, God never made us to be under stress. Think about all the times you read in the Bible. And Jesus hurried. How many times is in there? You're shaking your head. You don't think it's there? You're right. It's not. Jesus never hurried anywhere. When Jairus came to get him, it says, my little daughter's dying. Come and lay your hands on her so she won't die. He started to go with her. A lady with an issue of blood came up, touched his hem of his garment. He stopped, dealt with her. She was already healed. She had touched his garment. But he took some time to talk with her. The little girl died. He says, don't worry about it. And she was healed. But we cause problems in our life by poor diet and stress. Sometimes the problems are genetic. Any of you have genetic problems? You do? I do. Yes. Mine is hearing. My family has hearing problems. My mother had hearing aids. My grandparents, both on my mom's side, both had hearing aids. I have hearing aids. You know where they are? Home on my bookcase. I hate them. And they're supposed to make you hear better, but they don't. And sometimes you'll go to the doctor, and they have a questionnaire you fill out. And they say, oh, you've got this, and this disposition in your life. And these things are going to be there. We get it through our bloodline, but we can get a new bloodline through Jesus Christ. We can get that bloodline of Abraham going. Luke 13:10-13 says, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman who was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Now, the infirmity is a demon-possessed illness. You are set free from your infirmity. When he put his hands on her, she immediately straightened up and praised God. Now, if somebody saw her today, they'd say she has a bone disease. She has osteoporosis. Because we've got so used to all these terms that we just kind of accept what's there. But Jesus saw her and he said, this isn't right. So he cast the demon out and she straightened up. That's kind of like fear. You know, fear is not really part of your emotional system. I mean, it's a reaction. When we become afraid of things, we weren't created to be afraid because we are victorious in Jesus Christ. So we're not created to be afraid. And you can't handle it with medicine. It needs a good old-fashioned exorcism. But not all the time. So we have different things that help us. And different diseases that are caused by stuff. How many of you ever heard of David Berkowitz? A couple of you old timers, well, me and me. Okay. David Berkowitz was back in Chicago. He was a murderer. He listened to a dog, and the dog told him who he was to kill. He was caught, and he became a believer because as he walked around the yard, a little Hispanic guy walked along with him and said, Jesus loves you. And so do I, again and again and again. And he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with David Berkowitz, and he became a believer. He called a pastor one time, and the pastor thought, well, he's going to want me to help him get out of prison. He said, no. He said, I don't want to get out of prison. I'm where I belong. This is my ministry. I'm now the little Hispanic guy for other people. He helps set up church services. He helps take down church services. He even speaks in church services because he cast off that little spirit and that dog that was telling him who to kill. Sometimes it's a lack of spiritual connection or covering. In John 5:5-14, one who was there who had been an invalid for 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man who was cured and picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Now, this guy here was possessed, but you know, we're believers in Jesus Christ, aren't we? We walk with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We don't have to worry about this, because if something like this happens in our lives, if we sin against God, we know the cure. We know what to do. We walk by grace, not by fear. All we have to do is just cast it out, get it out of your life. Confess it. Confession is a great way to get rid of things, okay? James 4 says to give your life to God and then resist the devil. Why resist? Because we have to be reminded that we are not under the control of the devil and we're not to be afraid of what's taking place. And we don't have to be perfect. You know, that's the other thing we do. Sometimes we get too legalistic. We try to become perfect, and it doesn't happen. We cannot be perfect. So if you're trying to do that, don't do it. And then if we're doing something wrong, God's very gracious and merciful. Luke 6:35 through 38 says, "But love your enemies, do good for them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So what's the number one thing we're supposed to commandment? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And the second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. And when you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, the first person you think about is you. You forgive yourself mistakes you make. You walk in God's grace. You love what God is doing in your life. I do. I love God. I was sitting in the door by my backyard looking at all the flowers and stuff I've been planting. And it was like, God, thank you so much. Some of these things that planted in my backyard are weeds. But they have the most beautiful flowers. They're just gorgeous. And they're little teeny white flowers. They came up a volunteer last year in a pot. I kept them. They came up again this year too. I put them out by the road so people can see them as they drive by. God's creation is just awesome. And you are God's creation. Why does God heal you? Because you are his child. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be healthy. And when it happens, it brings glory to God. When you are healed, it brings glory to God. John 9:1-3, it says, "As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus, 'but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life.'" It happened to bring glory to his life. Like Nick said, I bring glory to God all the time. And then the last way, a lot of the people are healed is through death. Through death. Both of my parents were healed through death. My dad abused his body growing up, and he got to the point where he couldn't do anything. He sat in a recliner in the living room. He had a porta potty beside him because he couldn't make it to the restroom. And he was on oxygen. And he sat there and he watched television, which is what he had done most of his life. He caused the problems with his body. And you notice the people that God healed, none of them caused the problem that they were under. It happened to them. But Dad had done that. And he got to the point and he said, "Why doesn't God just take me? Why doesn't God just take me? And it's like, I don't know, Dad. Got to ask God that one. He asked my mother to get a gun and shoot him. And Mom says, I haven't shot in a long time. I'd probably miss. Mom had a weird sense of humor. But she had strokes. And she got out of her mind. And so it was painful to watch her. And so death was a blessing. And sometimes it is. Working in the hospital, I saw one of the top leaders of a church come in and give his relative a blessing. And he died. And the person was upset about it. But sometimes death is a blessing. And like I told you, I've had patients that have died on me, or we've turned them off. And they considered it a blessing. I walked into an older woman's room one time, and I was going to give her a breathing treatment. And she says, I started the treatment. And she goes, I don't want to do this. And I says, okay, what do you want to do? She goes, I just want to go to sleep. And I said, okay, go to sleep. And I turned the nebulizer off. I put it away in its little bag and turned around, and she was gone. She died in the time that I went from here to here. I went, oh, you wanted to go to sleep. And she did. She did. When you know who you are in Jesus Christ, death doesn't scare you. Death doesn't scare you. I did one of these psychological things one time when they had all kinds of things that mean different things. And I came to this wall, and it was a rock wall and was very high. And they said, oh. And I said, but down here, it's fallen down. And they said, you're not afraid of dying, are you? Because the wall was a rock wall. And before I came to Jesus Christ, it was a wall. Now it's just something you jump over. Death is sometimes a healing. God still heals. What he did in ministry wasn't just for his time. When you get sick, one of the scriptures I'm not going to read was in here, it says, call for the elders if you're sick. Well, yeah, if you're sick. But if you get a sniffle or you sneeze, doesn't mean you have to call the elders and have a special blessing. Because sometimes healing just takes time. Healing is a process. 4 weeks ago, I fell down the stairs over here. It hurts when you go down there and whack it smack into that wall. I cracked the wall. Both of my legs hurt. My left one was worse. And I finagled around, got up. I was here by myself. That's why they don't want me on ladders. But I got finagled around. I stood up. I started walking. It hurt. But I was able to walk. So I went home. And it was a process. Gradually, each day, I could walk better. I could go up the stairs better. Until pretty soon, I was down to this thing where you go down with the bad, up with the good, you know, that type of thing. That's what they teach you, down with the bad, up with the good. And so you'd come this way and you'd go up, up. And then it got so I could be down here and I could go up, normal. But I still had to go down the old way. And then about 5 days ago, I could go down right too. Still hurt a little bit. Now it doesn't hurt. Yeah, yay, I'll take it, okay? But healing is a process. A miracle is instantaneous. So when people talk about healings, it's not necessarily where you, boom, you're healed. It's a process. But sometimes it's instantaneous. I've had one of those, and I thank God for it. I've been blessed in my life. I worked in the medical field. I've seen medicine at work. But I've also seen miracles. God still heals. And you know what? You can say, it's based on my faith. No, it's not. You have faith. But like, you know, salvation, you are saved by grace. You're not saved by faith. You're not saved by faith. You are saved by grace, God's grace. God gives it to you. You don't deserve it. I'm not looking at you specifically. But we don't deserve it. We don't deserve God's grace. But he gives it to us. It's a free gift. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith has a part in it, and we need the faith, but it's grace. It's God's grace. We have to realize that we don't manipulate it. We don't earn it. We don't control it. It is pure, simple grace. And if you want grace in your life, you know what you have to do? You have to give out grace. How much grace do you want in your life? I want a whole bunch. So I work at being gracious and grateful and giving people grace and cutting people slack. You know, do you ever have a time when you just want to take somebody and slap them aside the head? Sometimes it's yourself. Thanks, I needed that. But you give them grace. Not because they deserve it. Not because they earned it. Because I'm selfish. I want more grace. And if I want more of God's grace, I've got to give away God's grace. If I want to be healed, I got to be a healer. And you need to know, you are a healer. 1 second, 1 millisecond after you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have all the authority over Satan that there is. We just don't realize it. And we have to exercise it. I got a membership to this gym. I went down there. I watched them exercise. And I watched them. And I was still out of shape. I realized, oh, you've got to get on the machine and actually do the stuff. But that makes me tired. I don't want to be tired. But we need to walk in grace. And we need to extend grace to other people. Now, I know the first part of this was a little bit, whoa, okay? But it's God's blessing to us. And God wants us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing to somebody else. Want grace? Give grace. Want more? Give more. Because by the measure you used, it will be measured to you. You can give all the money you want, but if you don't walk in grace, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But God's good, and God is gracious. And God heals you because he loves you. And you help other people. Because I might not be walking in belief, in faith, tomorrow. And you can lay your hands on me and you can pray over me. After service, there's going to be somebody standing over here to pray over you. Blessings for travel. Blessings for health. All kinds of things. Somebody's hiding behind the... Oh, for Kyle. Okay, for Kyle and Gary. Because they're looking to be moving to either Idaho or Spokane. They need new jobs up there. They need travel mercies. They need to sell the house that's down here. Yeah, you can pray for Kyle and Gary. Now, do I want to see them move? No. Kelsey's not here. She sits right there usually. But there's a church down in Draper that needs a transgendered person in their congregation right now. And that's what the Spirit told her. Is she excited about it? No. Doesn't matter. She responded. That's where she's at right now. She comes to Wednesday night Bible study. So it's not like she's lost. And when that need is passed, she'll be back. I had to move to Washington, D.C. for a while, 5 months. When the need had passed, things got so ugly that I came home. But I was there for a reason. Because the person I went with took me to church and left me there, literally. But the people there, I was used to LDS, but the people back there prayed over me and they blessed me and they answered my prayers about things that needed to go on and healing in my life that I'd never had before. And I had never met any of them. And God is good. Open yourself up to God's grace. and accept who God created you to be. You are a healer. You have the authority and the power to heal people and to pray over them. You're not too young. You're not too old. Now, I want you to close your eyes. Take some time. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what do you want me to get out of this message? Would you pray with me? Loving God, thank you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus. Thank you for so loving us so much that you walk with us. Each and every minute of our life and every moment of our lives, Lord, you walk with us. You connect with us in ways that we don't understand sometimes, Lord. And you pour healing into us in ways that we don't understand. Lord, help us. Open our eyes. Open our eyes to people around us, Lord, that need your blessings that we can be a part of. Open our eyes to see your goodness and your glory. In Jesus' name.